This is Voices of Luxury with JQ. I'm JQ Louise. I'm a travel writer, influencer, and content creator based in Boston, but I've traveled all around the world. And on my podcast, I'm interviewing lots of interesting guests from the world of luxury, yachting, and travel. And I'm so excited to have you here with me. So let's get started.
So this week I'm here with Jordi Lippi, and she's an old friend of mine. She's an awesome travel writer and lifestyle expert on everything luxury travel and family travel. So I'm so happy to have you here with us today, Jordi.
Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Okay, so I guess to kick things off, maybe like let's just talk about like who are you writing for these days? I know you're writing for so many amazing publications. I see you all over the place. So yeah, tell me what you're up to these days.
Yeah, you said it just correctly. I'm a little all over the place. So there's some places that I regularly write for, one of which is Hotels Above Par. So I'm their family travel columnist, which is really fun to curate these stories about boutique hotel travel with kids in tow. So I found that when I was traveling with my son, who's now 7 years old, that I didn't necessarily want to go to those all-inclusive kind of places. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but that just wasn't the style of travel that my husband and I enjoy doing. So we kind of sought out these smaller, more boutique hotels that had really immersive cultural experiences. And that's what Hotels Above Par is all about. So it's really exciting to be able to write about like my passion for them. I also write regularly for Forbes, Wall Street Journal. I'm a big contributor to Condé Nast Traveler. So yeah, a little all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, awesome publications. I mean, whenever your articles, you know, come on my newsfeed, I'm always reading them. You have awesome takes on everything and you're just going to the coolest places. And the funny thing is you and I actually met at one of the coolest places, like a few years ago now.
That's an understatement. Yes.
I know. Isn't that crazy? That was like, that must have been 4 or 5 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, we met on Mosquito Island, it was Richard Branson's newest island at that time.
Yeah. And of course, he has multiple islands.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, I'm so happy to have you on today because I just saw that today is actually Richard Branson's birthday today. The day that we're filming this. Yeah.
How serendipitous.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to talk about what you thought about Mosquito. And I know we visited Necker Island for a little bit. But yeah, I literally just saw before hopping on this with you, I saw on the Necker Island Instagram that it's like, oh, happy birthday, Richard Branson, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, what was so cool about Mosquito is it's one of those trips where as a travel journalist, it's such a privilege because it's something that I wouldn't be able to do on my own if it hadn't been for my job. And it's because it's a private island with these insane villas, some of which are owned by Richard Branson, some are other billionaires own them. And it's just like this wild playground that you really get to live this billionaire lifestyle for a few days, which is what we did. And it's not just for me, it wasn't necessarily the high design, which of course there was, the food, of course there was incredible food, the views, of course, like all of those things were sort of a given. It was really the anticipation and the service that was like, oh, wow, this is what vacationing like a billionaire feels like. Where I remember I woke up one morning early because I'm just an early riser and wanted a latte. And the next morning they had someone there before I even woke up with the exact latte the way that I wanted it. It was like taking that information and learning and figuring out on the go, like, what are these people's interests? What's their routine? What's going to make them special? And I also felt like I'm not a big drinker, but it was funny. Like no matter where we were, we could have been like on a random beach. We could have been doing another activity. And it was just like, would you like champagne? Like everywhere you went.
Exactly.
Which is so funny. And I had to like, after a little while, they would always have like cool little special cocktails because we were going snorkeling versus doing something else. And it was like, I had to keep asking like, is there alcohol in this?
Oh my God, I remember that too. So funny. Like whenever we'd come back to our villa too, they would have another welcome drink and be, you know, something tasty and tropical. We're like, you know, it's just that constant, you know, thinking about what the guest wants and how to, you know, help everyone have as much fun as possible. And, you know, that really, you know, that really loops it back into, I know a lot of our listeners here on the Yachting International Radio, you know, are in the yachting world and things like that. And I think, you know, private islands like Mosquito or Necker, you know, they're really catering to the same type of clientele that are chartering yachts or, you know, maybe own yachts. And it's that type of really, you know, five-star service where they're anticipating what you want so that you don't even have to ask.
Exactly. Yes. And I think that's truly, to me, the epitome of luxury. Mm-hmm. And that five-star service is anticipating people's needs. For like, for example, not on Mosquito, but another place where I really experienced this was at Ashford Castle in Ireland. Mm-hmm. I went in Sun, and my, you know, we got there and they wanted us to show us around the hotel, but my son was being really cranky. And it was like, how about let's just get you in your room. We're not going to give you a run. Like, we're just going to let you get settled. And it was like, yeah, like that's what I needed in that moment. And then we went to dinner that night and they had a little, you know, kids menu with a crossword puzzle and, or not a word find, excuse me. And my son loved it. And by the next morning at breakfast, they had created a custom word find for him.
Oh my God. Wow.
The waiter from the night before recognized that, told somebody, mm-hmm. and then they had it for us ready to go at breakfast the next morning with his name in it and everything. And that was like, God, how special is that? And something that's not like a pricey thing to do, right? It's just like printing out some, but it was that thought. And especially now as like a traveling parent, to make my kid feel special and feel like this place is magical is hugely important.
I love that. I know. I just, any little thing, like that's what you're going to remember. You know, it might be a five-star hotel, you know, super luxurious, everything, but it's literally the small details that just made your day awesome, you know, made your son's day awesome. And that it's just like, you know, it's that above and beyond where you really feel like pampered.
Yes. Yes. Because there's always the spa, there's always the great mattresses and all those things are obviously incredible, but it's, yeah, really those, like those little details and really recognizing the individual interests and style of travel. There might be some people, you know, who don't want to talk to anyone. They just want to have their solitude and not engage. And, you know, kind of just like reading the room and reading the guest, I think is hard. And when you can master that, it's incredible.
100%. I literally couldn't agree with you more because, you know, on the flip side, you know, you and I have been to so many hotels. There's a dozen times where you can think of where, okay, someone just isn't getting the picture, like, you know, where you clearly want something else and maybe you've even vocalized that, but they're, you know, they're sticking to their script or they're sticking to their routine. And it's, you know, the best service is whatever's going to make the guest happy. Right. So, you know, and, you know, for me, it's if I don't have to ask for something and it just happens, like that's 1,000 points plus in my book, like,
absolutely. And especially, like I mentioned, like traveling with a kid, like my whole life is spent worrying about his needs, trying to figure out the, you know, how, okay, the family, this, like, there's so much in my head all the time. And when some of that mental load can be alleviated, it just makes for such an enjoyable experience. It allows for me to take some of that energy and put it towards like connecting with my family when we travel and being in the moment. And that, like, you can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah. So what are some of the other like family friendly, but cool places that you've been lately?
So this one I think is going to be really surprising. And it wasn't something that we've done. I mean, my son's only 7, so it's somewhat recently, but we actually took him on safari when he was 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
And everyone's like, you're crazy. I can't believe you're bringing a four-year-old on safari. And we went with Time and Tide, which is an incredible safari outfitter. And they have a few properties. And we went to one, two of them actually in Zambia. And yes, it's a very long trip to get there. And we saved our points and everything to fly business class. But once you're there, safari is surprisingly super family friendly, even with little kids. Because of what we were just talking about, where you don't have to think, right? Mm-hmm. You have your schedule for the day. You wake up early, which most kids do. You have your breakfast. You go on a game drive, which kids love. It's exciting. There's a Jeep.
I bet.
find all over the Jeep, you get a snack, you come back, you have lunch, you take a nap, you wake up, you go on a night game drive, you come back, you have dinner, and you go to bed. Like, the only decision we had to make in that day was, like, what on the menu of three things did we want to eat that night? So, you know, of course, we had to make some changes. Like, they gave us a private vehicle, which I would highly recommend people doing safari with a family. That way you're sort of not relying or feel like you're interrupting other people's trips. Not because he's throwing a tantrum or anything, but just because of scheduling purposes. And one of those, like, we needed to cut our game drive in the evening a little bit shorter because he was going to get tired and he needed dinner earlier. And they were able to adjust for that. And it was that simple, just asking, no problem. And also, like, they had crafts for him. So when there was a little bit of downtime, they would have kid activities. And it just was really, really special. And it was a time where we just felt, like, so close as a family. And, yeah, it was just this, like, magical experience. And, of course, all the animals and safari is magical. So it was just, it was a really awesome experience as a family to do that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's such a great point because, you know, people think, I think a lot of people, especially Americans, think that distance equals difficulty. You know, just because it's a long flight to go somewhere amazing like that doesn't mean it's any more difficult to travel with young kids than it is going, you know, on a three, you know, a 2 or 3 hour flight within the United States, something like that. It's like, okay, there's a long flight. That's one thing. But once you're there, if you're there for a week or a 2 week trip, like you said, if everything is planned out and it's so easy and there's no, you know, mental load on the parents constantly, you know, what are we going to do? What's the plan? Are the kids happy? You know, all that, then, you know, that's worth it, like 100%.
And speaking of, like, yachting, like, another trip that we got to do as a family was we took a, you know, a very small cruise around the Galapagos. And it was a similar idea. It was just like we, you know, the meals were set, the activities were set. We could pick and choose which activities we wanted to do. They had kids stuff. We, you know, there were certain concessions we had to make. They had dinner at a certain time every night. My son would fall asleep before that time. So they would always have his dinner prepared first. And then, you know, my husband and I took turns. One person went to dinner while the other person stayed behind and we would switch. And that's like, you know, it's not always as glamorous and like, oh, my kids sat up having this amazing dinner until 10 p.m. But at the same time, it was like, it was still that, like, all we had to do was like, choose, do we want to go kayaking today or do we want to go snorkeling? And, and that was it for our decision-making. And it was just incredible to have all of those things thought out, planned out. So we just had to like go with the flow.
Yeah. I love that. Now, what about, I know, you know, like the whole mega resort thing is probably not up your alley. Like it's not up mine either. But in terms of those types of destinations where those huge resorts are prevalent, like in the Caribbean. So, you know, which islands have you gone to that you think were either better for, you know, just a couple or just, or great for, you know, with young kids too? Like what's your experience on that side of things?
When you were asking that, like a few places have come to mind. Obviously, my son has come with us for the last 7 years of Caribbean. And so I'm trying to think back to like before I had him. But so
even, you know, I know in the past few years, you've done a ton of awesome, you know, trips down there. So, I mean, I guess just which have been some of your favorites then?
So I would say St. Bart's is like a classic and it's amazing both for being just a couple with a family and there's great food, there's great beaches, there's things to do. It's just, it's beautiful. I don't know.
And I agree. I mean, and just the hotels, you know, I think they really cater to kind of whatever you need too, like depending on, you know, how many people you're with, like even if you're with a bunch of friends or whatever, I think St. Bart's is an awesome option when you're.
And there's no like mega resorts there. No. It's all boutique hotels.
All boutique hotels. Really awesome food. Like I think, you know, it's has that European influence, you know, it's, and the beaches are insane.
They're amazing. And then another one is Canawan in the Grenadines. We stayed at the Mandarin Oriental there, which I guess is like a bigger resort. I wouldn't qualify it as a mega resort.
But it's a smaller, big resort.
Yes. And that island, I feel like, is still a bit under the radar, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. Now there's a Soho House there. And, you know, I think it's sort of picking up traction.
But again, I think it's quieter, too. Like, because
quieter. It's, you know, beautiful beaches. They still had a kids club for my son, like at a, you know, whole kind of like bigger resort. So I found Kanawon to be really beautiful. And then another one I've been to twice in the past, you know, handful of years, Nevis, which is like the sister island to St. Kitts. And it's really like you want to stay at the Four Seasons there. And again, similar idea where it's like a chain hotel, a luxury one at that, but just really beautiful beaches. If you're into golf, an amazing golf course, fun kids club, good, you know, and it's a little bit busier, and Nevis is just like a bit more off the radar.
Totally. Couldn't agree with you more. I know you literally named like probably the top three that I would pick too. And I think what people don't realize too, especially, you know, when you're coming from the Northeast, like from Boston or New York, we are so fortunate where we have a lot of direct flights to some interesting places or direct flights to great hubs in the Caribbean where you can take a nice little quick flight, you know, to Kanawon or, you know, to, you know, St. Kitts and Nevis. Like there's an easy hop to a lot of these places. So I think just maybe, you know, I'm always telling people like, you know, go a little bit off the beaten path and you can find, you know, still brands that you're familiar with, like Four Seasons or Mandarin Oriental, but go to one of their other properties that's not as, you know, well known. Like all of those awesome recommendations. I totally agree with all of them.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I guess, let's see, maybe let's move on and let's talk about, so those were all kind of helpful, sensible things that a lot of people can relate to. But I think, you know, this podcast is all about luxury and over the top things. And I know you've had some over the top, super cool, fun experiences in all your years of traveling. So what's kind of one big thing that stands out as like something over the top, like that you'll never forget?
So this is going back a little bit to the 2016 Rio Olympics, and I was invited to go with Omega Watches, which is the official timekeeper of the Olympics. And it was really a last minute thing. It was kind of at the height of Zika. I didn't have a child. I wasn't pregnant. And it was kind of a last minute invite to say, hey, do you want to go to the Olympics? And it's like one of those things where you're like, you like figure it out and you say yes. And what made it so cool was like these experiences that I will never be able to replicate in my life. I got to go to like the opening ceremony of the Olympics there, like a few rows back. And it was like one of those moments where
that's like a pinch yourself moment.
You know, you're just like, what is my life right now? This is so cool. But one of the coolest parts and most luxurious, incredible things that I got to do was for, I don't know how they did it, but they set up a private dinner for us at the top of Christ the Redeemer. So like at his feet.
Yeah.
And Eddie Redmayne was there. And it was just like, again, you're like, they closed off this monument.
Yeah. Like a wonder of the world. Like,
you know, tables at sunset for us to have dinner with Eddie Redmayne. Like it was just one of those moments where I was what am I doing? How did I get so lucky to do that? And that was just like, that had to be one of the most incredible things that I ever got to. And like, I also got to go see the Olympics, you know?
Yeah, so did you stay for the whole, like how many days were you
there? The whole time. I think I was there for about, I want to say 4 nights or something like that.
That's still a lot. I mean, so what?
It's a lot, yeah.
So which events did you see? Like which sports?
I'm trying to remember now. I remember I saw a volleyball match. I saw men's gymnastics when the guy snapped his leg.
Oh, I remember that.
That was not so luxurious. I think I saw a swimming event. You know what? It's so funny. Yeah. I have to look. I know gymnastics and I know volleyball, but I cannot remember if I saw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure you had so many events and like, you know, other things to do with the, you know, the Omega team too. So, I mean, that's cool. I've always wanted to go to the Olympics. I've never been to one. I would love to go. And especially a summer.
Because it'll be, you know, in LA, which will be lot easier to try. Yeah, I tried to go to Paris because we were living in Switzerland at the time, but it was a little too crazy to try to make that happen.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, there's so many cool events like that. It's insane. Like, you know, just again, like the once in a lifetime type things where, you know, you know, as travel journalists and everything, like we're so lucky. We go to so many like interesting things. And then what's even better, we get to come home and write about it.
Oh my God, I know. And, you know, my son's a huge soccer fan. So with the World Cup coming up in the US, I'm just going to try all my best to figure out some really fun things to try to take him to, because it's, you know, when it's in your backyard, it's.
Yeah. So what's, so what are some of his favorite things? Like, what are the trips lately, you know, now that he's, you know, a little bit older and can really remember things, like what are the trips lately that like he's loved?
So yeah, it's really funny because like now he has opinions.
Yeah, I'm sure. He must start to have
bored, like he wants to do, like he wants to go to Barcelona because he loves FC Barcelona and things like that. But some of his favorites recently, my husband works for a company based in Switzerland. So for the past two summers, we've gotten to live in Switzerland. So he really loves Switzerland. I think, you know, it's something that kind of feels like second home to him in a way. So that's something he really loved for whatever reason. I mean, he loves Mexico. We've been a couple of times with him and he always asks to go back to Mexico. I mean, who doesn't? It's a great place to go. And I'm trying to think the castle, like the one that I mentioned, Ashford Castle in Ireland, he really loved. And he loves Paris, just like me.
All right. Which is, he has great taste.
Exactly. We took him in January. So it'd be really fun to kind of take him when the weather's a bit nicer. But yeah, he loved Paris too.
Oh. Love that. All right. I mean, I guess what else do you have going on? Is there anything else you want to talk about?
So speaking of family travel, a couple of things. One, like I mentioned, my son is 7 years old and I'm really excited. It was not planned, but by November, he's going to have been to all seven continents by the time he was 7 years old. So this summer we're going to Australia and New Zealand. In November, we're going to Antarctica with him. So please follow along on my Instagram at Jordan, to kind of follow along with those ventures. It'll be really fun to do that. And, you know, having had this opportunity over these years to be able to travel with my family, which is I'm forever grateful for. I actually kind of found out that like there were no travel bags that I could find that were chic at really practical for making traveling with a kid a little bit easier. So I started my own brand about a year and a half ago called PackRev, PackReve. And I've designed some bags and passport cases and everything that are really centered around family-friendly travel, but like nothing about them. You would never know that it had anything to do with being with kids. There's no cutesy designs or anything like that.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're so chic. They look so cool. I see you using them, you know, on your trips and everything. And I just know that, you know, there's a huge market for that because, you know, parents don't want, you know, they want family friendly, useful, practical things, but they don't need to look cutesy, you know, too little kiddish. You know what I mean?
Well, the phrase I like to use, and this is when I'm traveling or designing bags, is parent friendly travel.
Yeah.
The focus, like putting the focus a little bit back on the parents and like what's going to make me happy as a parent and make my life easier as a parent. And it doesn't have to be kid friendly per se.
Exactly. So what's your favorite part of like, you know, one of your bags? Like what's the thing that's like been a lifesaver for you lately?
So I have a couple different versions. I have a backpack. I have a tote. On the backpack, one of my favorite design elements is on the front of it, there's like a big pocket and you can hit the bottom of the pocket and it becomes a coat sling. So I don't know about you, but when I'm traveling and you're getting on an airplane, temperatures, you're going from a warm destination to a cold destination. And although coats aren't necessarily heavy, they can be annoying in terms of like having to hold them. And this, you just kind of string it through and it helps keep you hands free. And it's something so simple that our customers always say how much they love that feature. So that is one thing. And then our totes, there's two interior water bottle holders on the edges. So it helps keep your bag upright.
Yeah.
You don't have to have kind of those like ugly exterior water bottles.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
And then our family passport case, it can hold like 8 passports probably. It zips closed and it has a handle on it. So when you're getting off the airplane, everyone's passports are in one place. You can just slip it onto your wrist and get off the airplane and get through customs really easily. Everything's together. You're not worried about losing everything. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the features that I've personally used all the time.
I love that. That sounds, all of those things sound so helpful. I mean, even just the coat sling. I mean, I would use that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. And that's the thing is I use all of these products whether I'm on a solo trip, a family trip, a girls trip, you know, just going on a romantic trip with my husband. And that's what we say, like, these bags are really designed to take you from the playground to Paris. They transition throughout your entire life as a parent.
Love that. Awesome. Well, this was so much fun, Jordy. I love talking travel with you. I love all your recommendations. I know I'll definitely be following along on all of your trips on Instagram throughout the year. So thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for joining me here today on Voices of Luxury with JQ. I'm JQ Louise. We have new episodes every week, so be sure to like and subscribe. Follow me at JQ Louise on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other social media platforms. I'm so excited to share my travel life with you and, of course, all of the great tips from my lovely guests. So thanks so much.